Man, today, yeah, you can give yourselves a hand. Today is your day. You live it up, right? Amen. Hey, you know, again, happy Father's Day, you dads, you granddads, you great granddads, and no joke, first service, great, great granddads coming this September. So I want to make sure I cover all those. But you know, I've heard rumors. Some of y'all are going to Outback Steakhouse, others to Chili's, and some of you don't even know where you're going. You'll figure that out in a car. But hopefully you have a good time. Now, okay, speaking of cars, I think one of the greatest modern inventions of all times when it comes to vehicles, ready for this? The GPS system. I tell you, I love that thing. And the reason why I say that is probably one of the greatest inventions is because, man, when it comes to directions, I am terrible. I am horrible. In fact, if you ever are driving with me and I don't have a GPS in front of me, you will be taking the scenic route to places you never wanted to go, because every time I will get lost. It's just, that's just the way I am. And you know, I would say the GPS system has probably saved a lot of marriages over the years, as my wife and I have driven together many different places. You know, it's funny because our car does have a GPS system. However, I still manage to screw it up, because I will somehow be driving along and look down at my GPS and look at it and it says recalculating. If y'all ever had one of these GPSs, you've probably experienced this before, where you're cruising along, you're having a good conversation with somebody, you look down at it and it says rerouting, recalculating. And, you know, if you're like me, you turn that annoying voice off that says, turn left 1/2 mile, because you don't want to hear it, right? I got my wife in the car for that. She could tell me that. You know, so you shut it off. But for whatever reason, you know, I will ignore the GPS. It'll say, turn right. I will turn left. It'll say, take a U-turn. I'll keep going straight ahead. It'll say, you know, make a turn whenever possible, and I will just pedal the metal, keep going. And you know, sometimes you get to thinking, you keep ignoring the GPS, you begin to wonder, yeah, is this GPS ever going to quit on me? This stupid idiot isn't listening to me. What's going on? I quit. No. You know, what's amazing is that GPS, every time you make a wrong turn, it calmly says recalculating, rerouting. You know, I feel like that's how it is with our relationship with God. You know, we sometimes can ignore God's directions, right? We've been there. We can ignore His directions. We can rebel. We can complain about things. We can just flat out reject His word. Yet God keeps recalculating in His mercy over and over and over again. And you know, sometimes we get stuck in a rut. Sin enters into our life. Rebellion comes in. We go through those seasons. You know, and it's just like we repeatedly go through it over and over and over and over again. And sometimes we might think, well, what happens when God gets tired of me? You know, because I keep having these problems. You know, when we think about our relationships with people, sometimes, you know, we get to think people have their limits and with their patience, right? You know, we've all experienced those relationships where someone finally says, you know, I've had enough. You keep screwing up. I'm done. You're fired. All right, we've been there. You know, and we know what it means to disappoint others repeatedly over and over and over again. We know what it's like to fail. Same thing over and over and over again. So, you know, we can begin to wonder, does God ever reach His end of it? Did He ever get to the end of His patience with us? Can we ever exhaust His mercy? Turn to Psalm 106 this morning as we continue on in our Hallelujah series. I think that this is a great psalm to remind us that God's mercy outruns our sin. God's mercy outruns sin. Now, I want to give a caveat. This doesn't mean that we get a free license to sin all we want. You know, God's grace and God's mercy always pushes us towards godliness, not away from godliness. But according to this psalm, what we're going to read, God should be praised because no matter how much we've rebelled, no matter how much that we have run from God, when we repent, He is there to show grace and to show mercy every single time, even though we don't deserve it. So this morning we're going to explore some reasons this psalm gives us to praise God and what we're to do with that. And I hope after this time it'll help you to turn away from sin and towards God as you learn just a little bit more about who He is. So you got your notes. First reason we praise God is, this is number one, we praise God for His loyal love. Fill that one in. We praise God for His loyal love. Okay, Psalm 106. Now, I'm just giving you a heads up. This is a long psalm. It is 48 verses. Folks, we ain't going to be able to cover 48 verses in this amount of time. So we're going to get through it. We'll get enough that we can get kind of the gist of where the psalm is going with this. But let's start here. Verse 1 of Psalm 106 says this. It says, "Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving praise." There's a key term in the psalm that keeps coming up. In fact, it's three times you'll find this term, and that is the term chesed. Okay, you find it there in verse 1. When the psalmist says, "His love endures forever." His love, His chesed. It's in your notes. It's a term that refers to loyal love or kindness. That's what chesed means. A loyal love. There's a loyalty there that's shown towards somebody. Sometimes in scripture you'll find this term that's used with familial relationships, right? Family members. Now I know some of you probably has grown up with older siblings that picked on you and beat you up. and I get it. But this term in a normal family situation refers to that brother and sister type of love. Kind of a loyalty between them. If you're familiar with the book of Ruth, right? Remember Ruth and Naomi. Remember how loyal Ruth was to her mother-in-law? Naomi will use the same chesed term towards her. There's a commitment that Ruth showed towards Naomi, right? Sometimes the term's used in that way. Sometimes the term is used in God's relationship to us, His loyal love to us. And according to this psalm, when the term is used, God's loyal love is shown to His people through His, verse 2, His mighty acts that He does for them. That's how He displays His loyal love. And so the people are called to praise God for His loyal love that is displayed in His mighty acts, the things that He has done for them. And you'll notice, you know, it's a love that never runs out. Psalmist wants that to be clear. It's a love that endures forever. It goes on and on and on. But notice the psalmist, he doesn't stop there. In fact, in verse 3 and 5, he longs to experience God's loyal love. He wants to experience His love that God has for His people. His favor, His salvation, the joy and all the blessing. That's why he asks God to remember him when he comes to show favor on them. You know, verse 4, he says, when he comes to save them. You know, he wants to experience that blessing with prosperity. He wants to experience all these experiences from God. And he understands that, according to verse 3, he says this, he understands that that blessing is for those who act justly, who always do what is right. Now, as we continue on in this psalm, he's going to get into a reveal of Israel's history. Very similar to last week when we read Psalm 105. Last week, Psalm 105, the psalmist went into the reveal of Israel's history, and the emphasis there was on God's faithfulness. Here in Psalm 106, the emphasis is not only going to be on God's faithfulness, but it's going to be on His mercy despite Israel's repeated rebellion and failures when they failed over and over and over and over and over again.
But the difference here is that that didn't affect the fact that God was still praiseworthy because of his love for them. Just because they performed badly didn't take away the fact that God was still praiseworthy because he was committed to them. He had a loyal love for them. I want you to fill this in your notes. God's praiseworthiness rests on his character, not on our performance. God's praiseworthiness rests on his character, not our performance. You know, just because we're a bunch of squirrels doesn't mean that God is any less praiseworthy. Remember what verse 1 said, his love endures forever. He's always praiseworthy because his love outlasts anyone. It's not dependent on your performance. You know, you parents, you know, it is Father's Day, right? And you fathers, you might remember way back when your kids were real small. Remember when they used to draw those pictures for you? You know, they just discovered the crayon, right? And so they get out that blank sheet of paper and they start making that scribble and all that stuff. And it's just their masterpiece. And they come up to you, dads, and they show you the picture, right? You look at that picture and you don't say, oh, that's a piece of garbage. What are you bringing? What is this? This is junk. You don't do that as dads. No, right? You don't do that. What? You take that thing and you, oh, wow, what is this? You're just like, oh my gosh. But yeah, oh yeah, ooh, that's a direct, okay. Oh, that's me? Okay. But you take that and you take it over to the fridge and you pin it on the fridge. Now that artwork does not cry up the snuff, is it? But you treasure that artwork. Why? Because you love your kid. Right? You love them before even the kid even drew that whatever that was thing. Right? You had a love. You had a commitment for them. That's in a similar way. That's God's love for his people. It's not based on their perfection. Right? It's not based on their performance. And what you'll notice as we read on that this psalm begins by celebrating God's steadfast love before Israel's failures even were mentioned. And that's why God's love is rooted in his character, not in our ability to impress him. And so the psalmist will start with praise because of God's goodness and his loyal love that existed long before Israel got anything right. Long before it. It's his love. You know, speaking of kids and messing up, one of the philosophies of parenting that my wife and I has always been rooted in this idea of God's eternal love, his loyal love. You know, no matter what you do, we will always love you. No matter how bad you mess up, no matter how far you run, we will always love you. And as a parent, we want our children to always know that. You know, if you accidentally press the gas pedal instead of the brake and you run that car into the garage door, we still love you. Not that our kids have done that. So don't you dare go to our kids. Dad said you did what? No. No, but we'll always love you. If you leave the red crayon in your pocket and you turn our white load of laundry into pink, I don't know what, we'll still love you. You know, no matter what you do, that's always been a philosophy of parenting that we had. No matter what you do, we're always going to love you. And that's the same with God. It's rooted in God's character. His loyal love endures forever. That's what the psalmist says. Second reason we praise God is for this. Number two, we praise him for his great mercy. Praise God for his great mercy. Now again, we're going to get into the chunk of this psalm, which is very similar to Psalm 105, what we read last week. And again, instead of focusing necessarily on God's faithfulness, you're going to see God's mercy and his salvation despite Israel's failures. Okay, look at verse 6. The psalmist is going to start with confession. He says this. He says, we have sinned. Even as our ancestors did, we have done wrong and acted wickedly. Notice the psalmist is including himself in this. Right? Israel as a nation has rebelled. They have acted wickedly. And the psalmist puts himself in this. You know, it's a people thing. It's a group thing. We've all done this. So what are some examples of what they did? He lists them. And there's a ton of them. Again, we ain't going to be able to read all these. So I'm going to give you a few of them and you'll get the idea. Look at verse 7. He says, "When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea." Okay, I think we talked about it last week, the story of the Exodus, right? The 10 plagues came. They got to witness the miracles of God as he's saving those people. He's delivering them. But it says they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea, right before God split up the sea. They rebelled. Verse 8, he says, "Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up, and he led them through the depths of through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy. He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. They believed his promises and sang his praise." You notice, in spite their rebellion, God still saved them. It's an act, a mighty act of God's love and salvation. Now, you would think they would learn their lesson, right? They got to watch the salvation. They experienced the salvation. You would think they would learn it, right? I put this proverb in your notes. I think it's a reoccurring principle here that you'll see. Plus, I thought it was appropriate before lunch. But it reads like this, Proverbs 26:11. "Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly." I had a dog growing up. I remember watching my dog do... Bleh. That's disgusting. And he goes right back to that vomit and eats it. That's sick. But that's the image that proverb gives you. Of someone who keeps going back to the same sin over and over and over and over again. It's like a dog returning to its vomit. And so you see this theme just keep reoccurring all throughout this psalm. Let's keep going. Look at verse 16. Okay, so God just did all these miracles to save them. Right? You know what? Let's back up. Go to verse 13. I want to show you this. They just did all these miracles to save him. Verse 13 says this, "But they soon forgot what he had done, and they did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave into their cravings. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them." Okay, in the wilderness, they wandered, right? But then they complained, "Oh, that we could just go back to Egypt where we could eat meat. We're so hungry." All right, God sends them manna. He sends them bread. They still complain. But notice, even in the sin, it says, sent a wasting disease among them. There's still judgment. There was still discipline, even amongst it. But you're seeing them going back to the sin, back to the rebellion. It's tough to read. Look at verse 16. Here's another event. "In the camp, they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. The flame consumed the wicked." Okay, this is number 16. You know, a dude named Korah rebelled against Moses and the leadership, along with these guys. And the text literally said that the earth opened up and swallowed them whole. I mean, it's rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. This is painful. It's painful to watch. But something you'll notice in this reveal of Israel's history, that it's filled with sin and then judgment. Sin and then judgment. You know, it's just like us. Sometimes we never learn, right? We experience the consequences of our bad choices. It's like God slaps us upside the head, right? And we just don't learn. Keep going. Look at verse 19. Let me give you one more example out of this section. You'll be familiar with this one. It says, at Horeb they made a calf and worshiped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull which eats grass. Right? Some of you might be familiar with the golden calf, right? Verse 21, they forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. So he said he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to keep his wrath from destroying them. You know, you might be familiar with, you know, Moses on Mount Horeb receiving the Ten Commandments. But the people got impatient, right? So they make this golden calf that they were going to worship. And God knew that was happening, so he's going to destroy them, but Moses intercedes on their behalf, right? And so God relents, changes his mind. That's that whole story. But, you know, you might be reading this and you're thinking, man, God had been so good to them. And they had seen it. Why on earth would they be building this golden calf? But folks, I'm just saying, that's just humanity. That's how we are. We can forget, verse 21, we can forget God. And we make our own idols. Our own things that we worship that replace God. Now the rest of this section, it traces out how time and time again, Israel turns back to their vomit over and over and over and over and over again. Yet the psalmist wants you to see that even in Israel's repeated rebellion, God shows his love for his people. Now this review, it began in verses 6 through 12. Where the emphasis was on God's mighty act of love shown in salvation as he saved the people from Pharaoh's army. Jump down to verse 43. Verse 43. Here the review is going to finish up by showing that God's act of love is in that he relents. He relents in bringing his punishment and instead he shows mercy. Look at verse 43. Says this, many times he delivered them. You know, and he goes into the details of all the different times he delivered them. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion and they wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant and out of his great love he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show mercy to them. You know, as many times as Israel rebelled and God brought judgment, God would act based on the covenant he made with them. And he would relent in his punishment. Why? Because of his great chesed. His loyal love that he had for them. And he would force their captors to show mercy. That's the type of God we serve, that we worship. You know, and as gross as a dog is returning to its vomit, it just shows the depth of God's mercy. You know, I love that little word there in verse 44. It's three letters. It's the word yet. You know, some of your translations might say nevertheless. You know, in spite of all their sin and everything that they had done, nevertheless, God saw their distress. God heard their cries. God remembered his covenant. And God relented according to his abundant, steadfast love. And he showed them mercy. He showed them mercy. I want you to fill this in. God's discipline may last for a season, but his covenant love never expires. God's discipline may last for a season, but his covenant love never expires. You know, the writer of Hebrews says, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And sometimes we have to go through those seasons of discipline. And there might be an area in your life where you're experiencing the consequences for some bad decisions. And you're living out those consequences. And perhaps you're either trying to run from God, you're trying to hide from God, or maybe you just don't want God to know about it, as if He doesn't already know. That could be you. You know, God might be using those consequences that are in your life to draw you closer to Him. You know, if that's you, then this psalm is speaking directly to you. Because no matter how much you try and outrun God, you cannot outrun His mercy. You just can't. And when you repent and you turn to God, you can always count on His mercy. Why? Because He loves you and He is committed to you. And He will show you mercy every time. You know, I think the cross proves this better than anything else, because at the cross, Jesus absorbed the judgment our sins deserved so that those who belong to Him would never experience God's rejection. You know, we might experience His loving discipline, but because of Christ, we will never be separated from His love. Never, ever. His love and His mercy, it never expires. You can't outrun it. So in response to His loyal love and His mercy, number three, we pray for deliverance and we give God glory. Fill that in. In response to His loyal love and His mercy, we pray for deliverance and we give God glory. Now, let's finish up the psalm. Verse 47. Watch what he says. He says, "Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name and glory in Your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise the Lord." You know, he's gone through Israel's past, and he's confessed the sins of the nations. And after he does all that confession, and he sees it, "Yeah, Lord, we did that. We screwed up there. Yeah, we did that." You know what he does? He says, "Now, God, deliver us. Save us." Notice he just doesn't wallow in despair. "Oh, woe is me. I've really messed up." And he just stays in that state. He doesn't do that. He looks up. He looks to God. He says, "Lord, save us." And how does he know to do that? Because he's looked through Israel's past and he's found God's loyal love and His great mercy. It's repeated over and over and over again. You know, I think, you know, all of us, we're struggling with these sins that come into our life, these strongholds and all these things that we're dealing with. You know, if you're not, then quit lying. We all are. We all are. We struggle with sins. And so if that's you and you're here this morning, I think number one, the first thing to do is just to confess with the Lord. Confess honestly, openly and honestly. You know, just like the psalmist did on behalf of the nation. Verse 6, "We have sinned." You know, it's an open and honest confession that he has. You know, that means that we don't minimize sin. You know, we don't try and defend it. We don't try and justify it. Instead, we just agree with God about it. It's truth-telling before God. It's saying, "Yeah, God, yeah, okay, I did that. I messed up there. I really wandered there. I really need Your mercy again." You're not making excuses. You're not justifying your sin. Don't do that. That'll just put you in a spiritual rut. You just confess openly and honestly. You do that, and the next thing you do after that is you remember His mercy. You remember God's mercy. You know, that is the emphasis of the psalm. God's mercy in spite of Israel's failures. You see this phrase that's repeated in this psalm. They forgot. They forgot. They forgot what God had done. It's repeated again and again about Israel. But the phrase that kind of carries the story forward is this one. He remembered His covenant. They forgot, but God remembered His covenant. So you don't just remember your failures. You're remembering God's faithfulness and His mercy. You know, I think so many times we just replay our worst moments over and over and over again. You know, we repeat our struggles. We keep dwelling on our regrets. But here, the call here is to rehearse something way greater than that. God's patience with us, His provision for us, His rescue of us, His forgiveness over us. If you're watching the highlight reel of your life and it's only the mistakes, then I'm just saying you're watching the wrong reel. Instead, we need to watch the reel that shows God's mercy and His grace and His love over and over and over again. So you confess it honestly. You remember God's mercy. Next, you pray boldly for His deliverance. You pray boldly for His deliverance. Notice the psalmist, after confession and the remembrance comes the request in verse 47, save us, Lord our God. That is a bold prayer that is grounded in God's character. You know, the psalmist is essentially saying, God, You saved us before. Do it again. You've been faithful to unfaithful people before. Be faithful again. And so God proves His mercy over and over and over again. So even after your failure, folks, don't withdraw from God. Don't run from God. Just run to Him. Because He's faithful to deliver you. And lastly, don't forget to respond with praise and glory to God. Don't forget to respond with praise and glory to God. You know, I love how this psalm ends where it begins. Notice what it says. Hallelujah. That's why we're in the series, the Hallelujah series. You know, praise God. That's what that term means. Praise God. It's the very first and the very last word of the psalm. So after you're done reflecting on sin and mercy, the only response is to worship. When you really understand how much you failed and how much God has forgiven, and how faithfully He still pursues you, the only fitting response is to praise Him. And that's not a casual praise. It's not a occasional praise. But it's a deep, anchored, God is still good kind of praise. Now, I think there's a pattern for life with God that the psalm teaches us. Be honest about your sin. Remember God's mercy. Pray for help. And then you respond with praise. I think that is a good pattern to follow. Because ultimately, the story of your life is not defined by your failures. It's not. But by a God whose mercy outruns sin. Don't run away from Him. Run to Him. Praise God for His loyal love. Praise Him for His mercy. Pray for deliverance. Give Him glory. Father, we just thank You so much for Your love that You show towards us, Lord. That loyal, committed love to us, Lord. And we confess, we admit, Lord, we are not perfect. And we can be squirrels at times, Lord, and we can rebel, and we can turn away from You. Lord, remind us of Your goodness, of Your grace, of Your mercy, of Your love. Lord, I know You allow those consequences to come into our lives just to wake us up, to turn us back towards You. Lord, help us to be attuned to that. Help us to see those consequences for what they are. Help us to just confess that sin, to be open and honest about it. Help us to remember Your mercy. Help us to pray for Your deliverance and help us to respond in praise as You mercifully forgive us, Lord. I pray that over us and everyone here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name by the power of the Spirit. Amen.